Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, once again, we thank you for the benefit of your word. This morning, we receive wisdom, insight, and revelation by your spirit. Our minds are transformed, our life forever changed in Jesus' name. The book of Galatians. Now, we have been doing a study on that book. We introduced the book to us. And the importance of the book of Galatians is that the book of Galatians appears to be the defense of the gospel of Paul. That's how Paul brought out the defense of his gospel. It's in that material you see why the Jew and the Gentile have the same inheritance in Christ. It's in that material that you see why the law does not have is not enforced today. I was in it yesterday and I said that the book of Hebrews was able to tell us from the Old Testament God's plan and purpose for humanity. It was able to show us how all the dealings of God in the Old Testament pointed to Christ. However, the book of Galatians is broader in substance. Maybe not in explanation, but in substance, because the book of Galatians points to the Gentiles. It incorporates the Gentiles. Now, the Gentile is the non-Jew. Now, if you read the book of Hebrews, you will believe. It's very easy in the book of Hebrews to believe that salvation was for the Jews. The couple of things that were said in the book of Hebrews that make you feel like that. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, spoke in time past to our fathers. Now that's referring to the Jews. So that makes you feel alright. I mean, that's to the Jews. You read Hebrews chapter 4 again, and then you read verse 3 that says that the gospel came to them as well as unto us. Talking about those who moved from Egypt down to Canaan. Then when you read Hebrews 11 again, and you see what they call the heroes of faith. Those who heard the word of God. From Hebrews 11, faith is now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen through faith. It says the elders obtained a good report. Now, that already points to the Jews. The elders obtained a good report. The elders obtained a good report. Hebrews 8, you read from verse 10, 11, and 12, where it says that a new covenant will I make with you in those days, not the covenant that I made with your fathers when I took them by the hand out of Egypt. So that already points to the Jews. So you will read that material. To understand that book, you've got to think like a Jew. In those days we used to watch Bassi and Company. Some of you were born there, I believe. To think, to be a millionaire, think like a millionaire. So to understand the book of Hebrews, think like a Jew. You've got to think like a Jew. But the book of Galatians, it balances it out. It brings out the substance of the promise of God to humanity for the Jew and the Gentile. It's in there you find a defense of Paul. So we're looking at chapter 1 where Paul begins to tell us how he met the Lord, how his ministry was birthed. In chapter 2, how he communicated to the apostles and then how he had to withstand Peter to the face. And in chapter 3, he begins to tell us, you know, the very core of his message. Telling them that he never deviated from Abraham. They think that he doesn't like Abraham. But you see, the Jews are very smart. I'm going to show you something in a moment. Those who persecuted Paul were very, very smart with their persecution. As we're going to see something in a moment. Initially, they said, Paul says, do not follow Moses. I'm going to show you that too. He says, do not follow Moses. Now, Moses is the law. Paul now traced the history of the Jewish nation, not to Moses, but to Abraham. Now, they know that he wasn't saying what Abraham wasn't told, but they had a problem with the law of Moses. Now, follow this now. Galatians chapter 1. So I said that the book of Galatians is a defense of Paul concerning the gospel that he preached. Now look at this. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Now look at verse 6. I marvel that you are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. He says they are being moved from the grace of Christ. Notice that. To another gospel. And I told you that another gospel does not take away from the gospel. It only adds to it. Don't forget that. I hope you don't forget that. You've never forgotten that. They say, well, we know that it's by grace. Yes, we know that it's by what Christ has done. But then, are we now saying that because Christ has done everything, we will not do our part? You know, it looks interesting to say that, really. That, are you saying, what if I'm born again, and then this happens, will I still go to heaven? They're trying to tell you that there's something you've got to do. That Christ's work has not covered. That's another gospel. The word another there is the Greek word heteros. Heteros means, there are two words used for another in the Bible. There is another gospel. Another comforter. You see that in John 14 verse 16. The Holy Ghost is called another comforter. That's the word alos. Alos means, great. Let me take your offering envelopes. Let me have the one here. Good. Now, these are two envelopes. Am I right? Are you with me? This is another of this, right? Are you with me? This is another of this. They are envelopes, okay? They were probably printed the same day with the same material, but they are not the same thing, okay? So this is another envelope. Another envelope are not the same thing. I mean, there's no difference in this, okay? But they are both envelopes. Now, if I have an envelope that's not printed on, you have it? Okay, assuming I have another envelope that is not printed on, it's an envelope, it's an heteros envelope. Another envelope. It looks the same way, but it doesn't serve the same function. Are you with me now? It looks the same way, but it doesn't serve the same function. So this another gospel will look the same way, but it doesn't serve the same function. If we teach that Christ has done all, then Christ has done all. There's nothing left that Jesus hasn't done. Are you with me now? The Bible says we have been perfected forever. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 12. And sanctified forever. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ, for instance, He has saved you completely. And forever. Hebrews 7 and 25. The Bible says you're a son of God. 1 John 3:1. The gospel is very clear. You are made holy. 1 Corinthians 1:2 calls you a saint. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says you're sanctified. Hebrews 3:1 calls you a holy brethren. 1 Peter 2:9 says you are a holy nation. Okay? Now, another gospel will say, yes, by the grace of God, you are holy. But at the same time, God requires you to be holy. In the way you do things, the way you know, it looks like it's nice, but it's not the same thing. You say, well, the Bible says you walk out your salvation with trembling and fear. Yes, can you see that? You walk out your religious mind is very strong. I believe that everybody here, on the average, must have passed through the university, is about to get to one, or is in one. That means you have the advantage of studying English in the nursery school, right? Then in the primary school, then in the secondary school. Though I passed by a school when I was in university where they were teaching them English with Yoruba. That's okay, A for apple. You know, they never understand that. You know. But let's assume the normal case. And you know, we have the instance of having the same, when you get to university again, you have GES 101 or GNS 101, where you are taught English. Now, if someone were to tell you work out your salvation. He didn't say work for your salvation. I'm reading Philippians chapter 2 verse 12. He said work out. He didn't say work for your salvation. Let me see if I get what I'm saying. He didn't say work for your salvation. He says work out your salvation. That means you already have salvation. Okay? So he's saying, let there be a manifestation of your salvation. Work out your salvation with trembling fear. The next verse explains it very well. Because if you write a letter to anybody, you don't put it in verses. You someone write me a letter now and says, verse 1, good morning. Verse 2, how are you? Verse 3. So take out the verses. Work out your own salvation with trembling and fear. For it is God, verse 12, Philippians 2, that works in you the will to do of his own good pleasure. So that working out is not your doing. It is you responding to the grace of God. Responding to the power of God. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. People tell us that, oh, somebody comes to church. He says, you are seated in heaven. Oh, hallelujah, brethren. We are in Christ. We are sitting in heaven. Glory to God. Far above his presence and power. And then he says, our number one goal in this ministry is that you make heaven. You know, the person is confused. You are confused. Because it's either you are seated there, or you are hanging there. You know, you are holding this chair. You say, your chair is bending. Then you are bending. See, I'm seated in heaven. That's where you are. That's where the Christian is. Another gospel will tell you to try to make heaven. No Christian is ever told to make heaven. Because when Christ died, all things were freely given to you. Romans 8:32. He will spare not his own son. You see, people believe the most difficult thing for God to do is to allow people to heaven. They think it's difficult. That it's difficult. Very, very difficult. We're going to be standing at the door, then God will stay inside, and the angels are at the door. You're making noise. Shh. Where do you think you are? You think you're in your church? It's heaven. Shh, everybody. Pass it. Attention, everybody. You, why are you dressed like that? Jeans? Eh? Stop. And we don't take on that no worldliness here. This is not New Generation Church. This is heaven. That's the angel now. So Peter now comes out. He has made heaven already. So Peter says, where are they? Are these those Christians? That's Peter now. Paul says, check them well. Check them. Check them. James says, don't bother checking. They cannot be Christians. I think that's how it is. So, Jesus has died already. That's the most difficult thing is going to be for people to enter heaven. So, everybody, not, okay, but too much. John, is there space for all these people? Check for me. This is, what's all this crowd? Sorry, there's no more space. So, what can we do? Then, let's do random sampling. line up. Heaven. Stop. From this place to that place, heaven. Heaven. You stop there. No, not you. Stop. You don't move. No. The fate of your eternity is determined by your belief in the gospel. He that believes in the gospel, John 3:16, has eternal life. Say, I have eternal life. That is the gospel. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So another gospel will tell you, you will need. That's another gospel. The true gospel of Christ says that you are complete in Him. Hallelujah. All things are yours. 1 Corinthians 3:21. Romans 8:32. All things are freely given unto you. 1 Corinthians 2:12. The things that are freely given to us are God. Another gospel tells you there is more than what Christ has done. Another gospel asks you to put your input, to add your own part to it. So we look at it. Salvation is salvation, presenting Jesus as the Savior. Let me ask a brother. J as a sister. I say, Samuel as a pastor. He says, that's it. Lucifer as Satan. That's right. That's why I slowed down. The first part, Jesus now died. He died, he rose from the dead. So he does his own part. You know he has done his own part. So Jesus' part has been fulfilled. He goes to heaven. Then the brother. He's alone here on earth. Supposed to go and meet Jesus where Jesus is eventually. So he just hears. And there's Lucifer, who seems to be more powerful on earth than Jesus. Let me tell you how the drama is. There's only one actor. His name is Jesus. You are found in him. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creation. You are what he says you are. Are you hearing me? You are who you are because you are in Him. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Don't see yourself acting for Jesus or acting apart from Jesus. Christ is in you. Hallelujah. That's the hope of glory. So another gospel adds to what God has done. Look at Ephesians 2:10. Rush there. Quickly. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. You know the song? Old things have passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand. Ephesians 2:10. I want us to read together. Ephesians 2:10. Okay, let's start from 8. I'll take 8. You will take 9. Then we'll take 10 together. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'll take 8. You take 9. We'll take 10 together. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. 9. Verse 10 together. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God... Take it again. For we are his workmanship, created unto good works, which God hath beforehand ordained that we should walk in them. Can you see that? So what are you? What are you? What are you? What are you? Created unto good works. Did he ask you to go and look for good works? Huh? Are you supposed to go and get good works? You have been created with good works. Are you listening to this? You have been created with good works. In you today is a capacity to do well. To do good. The Bible says in James 1:18, of his own will begat he us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruits of his creatures. Hallelujah. Are you hearing this? So you have the capacity already. You are not looking at adding something to what you are doing and being, I want to be good. You are not to be good. You are good in you. The Bible says in Philemon 6, check those scriptures, please put it down. To acknowledge every good thing that is in you by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So you are his workmanship. You are his workmanship. And you are completing him. So another gospel paints another picture to you. Another gospel will focus on your experience rather than the word. On your experience rather than the word. I often times, there are some songs I will never sing. No matter who, no matter how you say it, I will sing it. I won't. There's a song in my car by one lady in Nigeria, and she said, one day I know I'll sing a song. That's you. How I move from mystery to ecstasy. That's you. I felt like dying. No, you don't feel like dying. Why are you singing it? Let the person feel like dying. Feel it. You know. I wake up in the morning and my heart is filled with pain. You want heart disease early in the morning. Don't sing that. Sing the word. Hallelujah. I've got a new way of living. Hallelujah. I've got a new life in Christ. I have got the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Love, joy, health, peace, he has made them mine. I've got prosperity, power and victory. Abiding in my body. Those are, I have made you too small. That's your problem. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things that... That's you. Let your story be personal. It's all about you. Hey, let's sing that one together. All about you, Jesus. That's the one we can sing together. You know your personal experience better than I do. So you got to be careful of another gospel that brings experience stronger than the word. Say, I'm what the word says I am. Say, I'm what the word says I am. So Paul, verse 6, says they are moved to another gospel. Another gospel. Another teaching. What is that another gospel? That another gospel that Paul is referring to here is to observe the law. The law. Galatians 1:6. The law. And that another gospel will come through preachers. No, years ago, I went for a conference. Then a pastor came to preach. The theme of the conference was to heal the land. And then they took the theme from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name should humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. Nice scripture. So the preacher they brought, when they brought that preacher, I knew the preacher very well. I said, ha ha, this guy in trouble. This fellow, he's a teacher of the word. He will do justice to this rubbish thing they have. I knew it. So he got there. You know what he said to them? He said, look, that was not for you. And they were talking about Nigeria because it was 1998 where the country was passing from Abacha to Abdul Salam, and then the church was forced to have a theme from the world. Okay? So, you know, I said, look, that was for Israel as a nation. It's not for the church. The church, do not turn from the wicked ways. He said, now, the way we can heal Nigeria is to preach the gospel. That's all. And he taught very well from the scriptures, quoted from the epistles, quoted from the fulfilled work of Jesus. And then the next day, another preacher came up and he said, don't mind that young preacher. He's an heretic. People will call it heresy when they don't understand it. It's a manipulative tag. He's an heretic. Why? Because you are teaching what is not common. I went for a conference too. And the theme was, my change shall come. Job 14:14. That was where they took it from. My change shall come. And then the Second Corinthians 3:18, they put it there, all we with open face behold as in the glass the glory of the Lord, and we are changed from glory to glory. So I got there and I told them, I told the escorts, were you not thinking? Didn't you read Job 14:14? You were looking. It said Job 14:14 was speaking about death. All the days of my appointed time, I waited till my change come. It was talking about death. They said, a whole church. You know. I said, I will not take that one. I'll take 2 Corinthians 3:18. He said, thank you, sir. It is well. But some folks will be angry and say, what's wrong with him? He thinks he knows everything. Eh? Well, I do. Praise God. If you can say it, that means I do. Hallelujah. You know? So, preachers sometimes will come with another gospel. Another gospel. Why don't women wear, why are women wearing trousers? Can a woman wear trousers to church? How does that affect you? Let's face it, let's face it. Let's face it. Skirt is the will of God. That is the one sown from heaven and sent down to the earth. Praise God. Another gospel. It sounds nice. It sounds nice. Some folks are just, they're just jobless. And so in Paul's church, people came in there to harass people. And they came in there. The Bible says they were apostles. You come. Who told you are saved? Sir, I'm saved, sir. Saved by what? Have you observed the law of Moses? No, sir. Pastor Paul told us that it has been fulfilled. That guy. That criminal. So imagine. The law of Moses stands sure. Even though Moses is dead. But his law stands sure. But they said, sir, Matthew told us that in Matthew 17, in the transfiguration, Moses was there for the law. Elijah was there for the prophet. Yes, yes. I remember. If I had that, it was a great vision. And God said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Yeah, he said, hear him. Yes, yes. That means the law and the prophets should do what? Hear Jesus. Is it Paul that taught you this? Praise God. They say, no. We have to obey the old Bible. You cannot obey the old Bible. You cannot obey the old Bible. Let me say it again. You cannot obey the old Bible. Because if we're going to obey the old Bible, we will not be here today. We'll be confused. We'll have to build a tabernacle. Have an inner court, outer court. We'll have priests. Some folks will have to wear garments like this, and they'll come in like this with bells. Praise God. No, you just have to study the Bible and then rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Are you following what I'm saying here? We're going to obey the Bible. That means to worship God, you need to kill an animal. That's Salah, right? Christian Salah. You cut an animal and you burn him and you say, Father. What a service we'll have that day. Everybody has his own altar, then his own animal. Rams. But thank God, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So everything has to be interpreted in the light of Christ Jesus. But then some folks didn't agree. And so Paul wrote the book of Galatians to settle it. Rather than trace the Jewish nation to Moses. Go to Galatians 3. Paul traced the Jewish nation to Abraham. And people tell us today that the children of Abraham are Jews. I said no. The children of Abraham is the physical. Abraham is spiritual. Notice that. Abraham is the physical aspect of what God said to him. Abraham is the spiritual. People don't know that. Jesus told the Jews a shocking testimony. Look at John 8. A shocking testimony. They wondered, what does he mean? He gave them a shocking revelation. Look at what he told them. Verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, notice this. If you were, John 8, 39, please read. If you were Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. Can you see that? That's what he told. He said, if you were Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. Now, what were the works of Abraham? Genesis 15, 16. Abraham believed God. Faith. He said, you will believe. Now, watch this. But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I heard of God. This did not Abraham. Now look at 41. I want you to follow this now. You do the deeds of your father. And then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And then verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father who? Can you see that? Isn't that serious? And they said, Abraham was a father, no? Now, but you tell me now, but sir, Abraham was their progenitor in the sense that he gave birth to Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob, and the 12 tribes, and 12,000, and Joseph, and then, you know, and then Moses, and no. Jesus was speaking spiritually. You are not of God if you are not born of God. You are a child of Abraham if you believe the gospel like Abraham did. So you didn't get that. So Paul is tracing the Jewish nation to Abraham because they say Abraham is their father. And he says Abraham's faith is why he's called righteous, not the works. He told them that Abraham did not keep any law. Abraham believed God. So you cannot be children of God by keeping the law of Moses. That's a serious indictment. Look at Galatians 3 again. Glory to God. Watch this now. Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Why did he say that? He said, those which are of faith. Now, it was answering back. Now, the material here is argumentative. Okay? He was answering back those who wanted Gentiles to be like Jews before they are saved. Okay? So, he's telling them something here. He said, is they which are of faith are the children of Abraham. Now, watch this now. Did you observe that Jesus said the same thing? Did you observe it? Jesus said the same thing. They which are of faith, they are the children of Abraham. Now look at the next statement. Verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the nations, everybody, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, indeed shall all the nations be blessed. Now, what is he saying? This is Genesis 12:3. When Abraham just came out, Abraham now, when he came out of his father's country, God said to him, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He was not circumcised when God gave him the promise. Are you following this now? In other words, God did not require anything from him when he blessed him. Nothing. No works. He was not justified by what he did. He was justified by what he believed. And he told him this, that through Abraham, God said he will justify the nations. Now, the nations cannot be Israel alone. That's everyone. The whole world. Look at the next verse. For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. Christians who want to practice the Old Testament. When I say the Old Testament, I mean the laws. They are under a curse. They are under the curse. Look at this. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Let's take verse 11 together, everybody. One, two, go. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Can you say hallelujah? And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law is not of faith. He says the promise came long before the law came. That's how you know that the new covenant came before the old. The old is a shadow of the new. You cannot have a shadow of what doesn't exist. Are you following me here? You can't have a shadow of what doesn't exist. God had given a promise to Abraham. The law of Moses. Now, explain what God was going to do in ceremonies. In ceremonies. In physical ordinances. In a shadow. But what God was going to do was to send Jesus to die. So, in the law of Moses, Jesus was represented by the lamb, the blood, the bread, the meals they took. What Jesus was going to do was represented by the herbs, the goats they killed. But when Jesus came, he became the one sacrifice. Hallelujah. For the sins of humanity. So now, we interpret the old by understanding the new. You cannot interpret the new by understanding the old. It's the other way around. Because in the New Testament, the Spirit of God had revealed to us the mysteries of God. Look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the law, cause of the law. Being made a curse for us, it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. The blessing of Abraham, I'm going to explain this, I guess next week. He said the blessing of Abraham, not Abram, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet it be confirmed no man disannuls or adds thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made, he said not as to seed as of many, but as to one. And to thy seed, which is who? Which is who? Christ. And I say this, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul it, that it should make the promise of none effect. Now, the law came how many years after? So which one came first? The promise before the law. That's it. The promise came before the law. The law was a shadow. Hebrews tells us that. Look at verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. What then serveth the law? It was added. Say with me, added. That means you don't add to what doesn't exist. Okay? Okay? Okay. So it was added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then again the promises of God? God forbid. If there had been a law given that could have given life, very righteous would have been by the law. But the scripture had concluded all in the same, that the promise of by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to all them that believe. Now let's read 23 together. One, two, go. But before faith came, were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which afterward be revealed. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. 25 together, everybody. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ. Can you shout hallelujah? Is that very, very clear to everybody? No, that's why today people, I posted something on Facebook last weekend. I've gotten a lot of people tell me what a blessing. But someone also sent me a mail. He said he had never seen it in that light before. We're talking about tithe. And I told them that tithing is not a scriptural instruction to give. It's not. Does that mean you should not give? No, you should give. And I explained this, and it's very clear that tithing didn't even start with the law of Moses. Tithing started before the law. Tithing started, the first person we saw that tithing in the Bible was the man Abraham. Genesis 14. Wasn't the law. There was no law. Romans 5:13 says that there was no law to impute sin, so there was no law for Abraham, yet he gave a tithe. So God did not ask him to give a tithe. Of his own will, he gave a tithe. And we discovered by, when you study history, you discover that in that part of the world where he lived, tithing was a taxation. It was a way to give. They had done, tithing was existing in the community it was given. And then he gave tithe. And then even when he gave the tithe, he did not give tithe of his own income. He gave tithe out of the things that he got from Sodom, which belonged to who? Lot. Lot was captured, so he went to deliver Lot. So out of what he brought back, he returned a tenth to Melchizedek. There was no law to do that. He did that of his free will. The second person we saw who gave a tithe was Jacob. And Jacob didn't give it. He said, Lord, bless me. When you bless me, whatever you bless me with, I'll give you 10. Did God ask him to do it? No. Now we get to the law of Moses. In the law of Moses, the tithe was for the Levites. The Levites, now there were 12 tribes of Israel. The Levites were the tribe that were chosen to govern the land. Just like today we have the political people who govern Nigeria, depending on what party you are in, but the PDP is in power right now. Okay, so those who are in power were the Levites. They stayed in the temple. They lived there. Okay? They lived in the temple. They made sure that the services of God in the temple were carried out. And because of that, there were 12 tribes. All the land of Israel was divided into 11 portions, not 12. The Levites, the only portion they had was in the temple. Are you following this? So because they did not have work, they did not labor, the 10% was tax for the Jews to give to those who were working and taking care of the services. Are you following this at all? So 10% was a tax. So you pay the tax of your farm produce. When you finish work, you pay 10% to the Levites. Why in the temple? The Levites would now pay a tenth of that again to God. That was how it was in the Old Testament. Okay? Now, when, after a while, the government of Israel changed from the Levites to the Romans. So Caesar came in the time of Jesus. And Caesar also demanded tax. Okay? Demanded tax. So they were paying tax to Caesar, and then they were paying tithe to the temple. So they came to Jesus one day and they asked him, he said, Master, do we still pay taxes to Caesar? So Jesus knew they were being smart. So he said, bring the coin with you. He said, whose inscription? He said, there's Caesar. So give unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and unto God that which belongs unto God. One day I will explain that to you in detail. What was he telling them? He said, look, you've got to obey the authorities, which were the Romans. That statement alone was enough to tell you that the tithing law was no more in force. Okay? But now, we enter into the New Testament, where the Levitical priesthood had ceased. Are you following this now? The Levitical priesthood has ceased. Totally. Okay? Secondly, there is no obligation to fulfill the law of Moses because it has been fulfilled by Jesus. Matthew 5:17, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus has fulfilled the law. It became a curse for us. We just read that now. Galatians 3:13-14. He fulfilled the law. Romans 10:4. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. Now, having done that, what we have in us today is the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of Moses is referred to as the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, 5, and 6 calls it the ministration of death. Read from verse 10, verse 9, and 10, 11. It calls it the ministration of condemnation. So, we are not under an obligation to pay a tax. Today, what we do in the church. Now, the difference between you and the Jew who was paying tax, which is the tithe, is that today, God owns everything. Hallelujah. Are you following this? God owns everything. You have been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Ephesians 1, 7. Colossians 1, 14. So, what you give today is out of your free will. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, 7, and 8. He says, not of necessity, not of compulsion. For God loves what? A cheerful giver. There is no way you can pay tithe with cheerfulness. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. He says, as you propose in your heart, so give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 says, as you are prospered, give. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, not according to my seed. Are you following this now? Things have changed. Now you discover that when the church was born in Acts 2, people sold their goods and brought everything. That's a different thing. Now I tell people all the times, they say, well, Abraham gave tithe. He did it once. So if you're going to be like Abraham, you do it how many times? Once. So tithing doesn't exist today. You can now choose to dedicate 10% of your income to the service of God. That is your choice. Someone else can choose 1%. Another person can choose 15%. Someone else can choose 40%. I have never given 10% in my entire life. But I've had times where I emptied my account, sold my things to give. And it has never been tight for me. Amen. Do you know the funny thing? Even the Jews did not keep that law. They couldn't keep it. Because the law was made for sinners. 1 Timothy 1:9. Not for righteous men. For sinners. That's why Malachi 3 says, you have robbed me. That means they were not doing it. Even the people you are trying to copy could not do it. But today, we have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We can give freely from our hearts. Because we know what is with us came from God. It's more blessed, Acts 20:35, to give than to receive. Amen. You can choose. 10% of my income every month, I give it to the Lord. 20% to the Lord. 30% to the Lord, 40%. And giving to the Lord is not only giving in church. When you see a poor person, Jesus said, when somebody is hungry and is thirsty, and you have given him food, you've given him drink, he said, you have fed me. Are you following this at all? So that means that every month, you can say, well, half of my income, I will not use it for myself. I will use it for others, for the work of the gospel, for the preachers of the word, those who teach me the word of God. The Bible says you give to them too. 1 Timothy 5:17, Galatians 6:6. I'll give to the poor in the church. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1. I'll be kind to all believers. Galatians 6:10. I'll help everybody. Something that's not personal to me. I can take 5%, 10%, 20%. And then sometimes I'm led of God to give everything. That is a Christian born of God's Spirit. You're not under any law. Say, I'm not under any law. Do you believe it? Are you sure? You believe it? Hallelujah. You are not under any law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free. If you do not, let me say this to you carefully, and let me say it well. Someone said, but sir, will God supply my needs if I don't tithe or don't give? Yes, He will. See,
God is not a tax master. Giving for the believer. I don't know why I started on this today, but maybe I'll continue on it next week. Giving for the believer is not for God to meet your needs. No. You know why we give? We give because we know God meets our needs. That's why we give. We don't give for Him to do something. We give because we acknowledge He has done something. The Bible tells us that God blesses the unthankful. He causes the sun to shine on the wicked. The rain to fall. He said, those who don't say thank you to God still bless them. How much for you? That's why I told you in Matthew 5:44. He says, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that persecute you, that you may be like your Father. Why do we give? We give to show that God is our source. Who made God our source? The Lord Jesus Christ, when He died for us. Hallelujah. From that point, He became your Father. Are you here? Pastor, can I say give tithe? Yeah, decide to. Give 10%. You can make it 20, 30, 40. But as you propose in your heart, so give. I believe this. As people born under the new covenant, we ought to do more. Far more than the men under the law were told to do. We ought to do more. Praise the Lord. I've had times in my life, I remember when I was a student, I acquired pieces of land, pieces of land, sold them, and gave everything to the gospel. Thank you. I gave away my first car. Same way. So, we're not teaching you what we don't practice. Praise God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of tithing, which is the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Lift one hand, say, Heavenly Father, I receive your word today. Today, I acknowledge I'm born again. I'm born of the Spirit. I'm free from the law. There is therefore now no condemnation for me. I am in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Heavenly Father, I receive the message of grace. I stand in grace. I walk in grace. I live by grace, not of works, lest I should boast. All my boasting, all my glorying is because of what Christ has done. I'm grateful today and forever. Worship God.